Looking at our verse of scripture, before we get into today's message, and it's found in Matthew chapter 23. I hope you can read this verse of scripture. "Now upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zechariah, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar." An interesting verse of scripture. I'm sure when we look at that scripture, well, what do we think? Well, we think about what happened, Cain and Abel. We think about Zechariah who was slain. And we think about judgment that's going to be poured upon that generation, because when Jesus turned up, they never recognized him as a savior. There's something much more fundamental about that verse of scripture. Something very, very important that you should know. Jesus said, "From the blood of righteous Abel." When was that? You find that in the book of Genesis, don't you? Then he says, "To the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barachias." Where is that? Second Chronicles. So what's the significance? Well, tell you what the significance is. Jesus, in that one verse of scripture, quoted all of the Old Testament. He quoted all of the Old Testament. He said, the word of God is this, from Genesis to the end of 2 Chronicles. Because the Jewish Bible starts with the book of Genesis, as the law, the writings, the Psalms, it finishes with 2 Chronicles. So here's a question. If somebody comes along and adds books to the Bible, are they adhering to the Word of God? Or are they like a wolf in sheep's clothing? Because you have to understand, Jesus, when he was speaking, he said, in the last days, perilous times will come. But what did he say was a big problem? Deception. Deception. Now, politicians are not going to deceive you all the time, but they don't deceive you from your faith. And then there's persecution of Christians, there's all sorts of things. But we don't get moved by these things, because we stand upon the Word of God. But people who come in, who are wolves in sheep clothing, speak the words, do the actions, and everything appears in line with the Word of God, except their heart is not in line with the Word of God, and then sooner or later they turn. Then you get deceived. So you need to know what you're grounded in. You need to know that what you believe is the Word of God, and you cannot be shaken, and you cannot be deceived. And Jesus made that big claim, many will be deceived. And we want to be a people who know the Word of God and are not deceived. Now, there are different ways you can look at the scriptures. I'm going to hand out, just you can pass around. It's what I call a biblical symmetry. It starts off with Genesis 1:1, the first creation. You go to the last point, the new creation. You go to the second point, Satan's first appearance. Second last point, Satan's final appearance. And so you get an overview of the scriptures. It's easier for people just to look at it and pass it around. And you can see the overview of the scriptures, what's there. And of course, that is one way of looking at the Bible. And quite often, if I'm doing an introduction to the Bible, of a Jew's art cemetery. But there's other ways people look at the Bible. For instance, people will say, well, the Old Testament is about a nation, but the New Testament is about an individual. And that's true as well. But today I'm going to look at the scripture from another point of view. And from the point of view I'm going to look at it today, I'll tell you up front, most Christians don't believe it. So I'm going to give you something from scripture. I'm going to use scriptures today on a subject which I've spoken on many times, but all the scriptures I'll use today is different from the ones I've used before. Because there's so many scriptures. So what am I going to talk about? Well, I'm going to talk about Israel in prophecy. Many years ago, I came across 2 Timothy 2:15. And ever since, I've found that that is a key verse in Scripture if you want to understand the Word of God. Because when Paul writes to Timothy, he says two things. He said, I want you to study the Word of God, but then I want you to have the ability to rightly divide the Word of God. So we need to know how we divide the Word of God. Now, when we come to the children of Israel, the first prophecy is ever given to them. It's found in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. And he said unto him, Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And if you go to Acts chapter 7, verse 6, you know, where they're given an account of it, that story is told at that particular time. And Exodus 12:25 it says, and it shall come to pass, so after they go into, they're taken into captive, you know that Joseph goes into living Egypt, and then Jacob, and his sons come down, and they live in Egypt, and they're there for 400 years, before Moses is raised up to take them out. But after that, when they come to Exodus, they're told, and it shall come to pass when you come into the land which the Lord will give you, according as he had promised, that you shall keep his service. Due to that, Deuteronomy adds that this land is a land flowing with milk and honey. And God states in 2 Chronicles 7:20 that the land that they're going to is his land. And in Isaiah 14:25, the Bible tells us that when the Assyrian comes in, God would make his power because it's his land, not the Assyrian's land. So, Jeremiah defined the land in Jeremiah 16:18. So God gave Israel the promise they would be in bondage, then they would be taken, and they would be entered into a land that was his land, and it's a promised land. And we know the story how Israel entered into the promised land under Joshua. And they inherited the land. And the Bible tells us the importance of the land. Because the first thing ever in Scripture called holy was land. And God spoke to Moses and said, Moses, the ground you stand on is holy ground, take your shoes off. When Joshua was going into the promised land, God said, the angel of the Lord said, this is holy ground you're standing, Joshua. When you go to the book of Chronicles and you read about Solomon, he said, I'm building a house for the daughter of Pharaoh because whatever the Ark of the Covenant has been is holy ground. And so the land of God, as the Bible says, is his land, it is holy, and the children of Israel inherited it. The children of Israel were given in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 all the blessings if they adhere to the Word of God, and all the curses if they didn't obey the Word of God. And of course, what we do know is that they stumbled. But then the church has stumbled, hasn't it? even the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The church is stumbling, people have been turned aside. So Israel, the prophets came and prophesied over them. You're going into captivity. You're going to be scattered among the nations. It's a prophetic word. And so they're scattered. You know, and we come to the book of Zephaniah. In Zephaniah chapter 3. And Zephaniah starts off telling us the position of the children of Israel. It's like the position we find ourselves in. They didn't obey the voice, they received not correction, and they didn't trust in the Lord, and they didn't draw near to God. That was the condemnation that they got. Our prophets were like, because every time Israel sinned, he was sending prophets. But at this time, the prophets, they weren't teaching, they weren't warning the people. And the Bible goes on to say, the just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. So every morning the Lord brings his judgment to light. So what does he do? He sends Jeremiah. He sends Ezekiel. He sends Zephaniah. He sends Malachi. He sends the prophets to warn them. A constant warning. And the Lord goes on to say, I cut off the nations. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passes by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, but there is none inhabitant. And I said, surely thou wilt fear me, because I've done all these things, and I've brought protection to you, and I've dealt with your enemies. And of course, they continued in the way. But we come to Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8. It's one of the most important verses in the Bible. Sometimes in these minor prophets, which we overlook so often, is one of the core foundations of our faith. Therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. The Bible tells us the nations are gathered at Armageddon. The Bible is telling us this is the second advent, this is the day of the Lord. And the Bible says, woe to those who look for the day of the Lord. Because it's going to be a day of violence, it's going to be a day of horrors. And so here in Zephaniah, look what immediately follows that verse. For then will I turn to the people of pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Do you know what the Bible's saying here? The language which came with the tongue of Babel, when God came and split the languages, and everybody had their own languages, God is saying, immediately after the second advent, he's going to turn to the people again, a pure language, and everybody is going to speak the same language.
Amen.
Everybody's going to speak that same language. And see here in verse 9, this is the remnant of people are left. Remember, Paul says in Romans, and all Israel shall be saved. Well, this is the one, this is the people that's going to be saved. This remnant at the second advent when Jesus comes. And the Bible tells us the day of the Lord is a day of dread. Book of Revelation tells us in Revelation 9, 200 million people are going to be killed that day in the Battle of Armageddon. So it's going to be a terrible time. But then, a pure language is restored to everybody. Matthew 25 then starts talking about the judgment of the nations. And those who pass this judgment are those which we read here in Zechariah 3:9, for then I will turn to the people a pure language. And so in this scripture, what we are finding is that at the end of the age, when Jesus comes again, he is going to restore the Jewish people to their rightful place.
Amen.
Zephaniah 3:13 says, the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall creep and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. They're not going to have any terrors. They're not going to have people coming in the middle of the night. They're not going to have people putting bombs in their buses. Because none will make them afraid.
Amen.
Because they will do no iniquity, they will not speak lies, because they're going to be restored.
Amen.
And it goes on in verse 14, to single daughter of Zion. And Isaiah 12:1 says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away. The promise, the covenant of God. And verse 15, the second advent. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore.
Amen.
That is a promise. And that is a promise at the beginning, when Jesus comes at the second advent, that the Jewish people are going to be restored. And in 2 Samuel 7:16, there is a promise to David. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever.
Amen.
David, your throne is going to be established forever.
Amen.
So who is they who come and say it will not happen? Who are they who come along and say God has forsaken them? They're cast aside forever. You see, the word of God doesn't change. The Bible here says, David, your throne's established forever. God's word is true. God's word prevails. And we have to be aware that not everybody agrees with God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to read a few verses of scripture. We start with Isaiah chapter 60. And I would like you just to pay attention to what we read. Because it's imperative that you grasp what the scriptures are saying. Surely the isle shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. He's talking about people having to bring the children of Israel back to their lands.
Amen.
And the sons of strangers shall build thy walls, and their king shall minister unto thee, for in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favour have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, and their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish.
Amen.
Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. So nations, when Jesus comes, sets up his kingdom, and the nations that will not serve Israel, they're going to perish. They're going to perish. They will no longer be here. And the Bible goes on to say, the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together, to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending upon the knee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. And they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion, the Holy One of Israel. Think of all the people that despise the Jewish people. Think of all the hatred that they have. And the Bible here is saying, God is saying, they're going to bow themselves down at your feet.
Amen.
They're going to bow themselves down at your feet. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, which is so true for the last 2,000 years, because the Bible tells us for the past 2,000 years, it has been night time for Israel.
Yeah.
But the morning is coming. So that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellence, a joy of many generations.
Hallelujah.
It's an eternal excellence that God is going to do. It is a great thing that God is going to do.
Amen.
And Isaiah 61, verse 5, 6, and 9. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be your ploughmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves.
Amen.
And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. And then Jeremiah chapter 32. And we're reading from verse 37 through to 42. Jeremiah 32. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath. And I will bring them again unto this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their heart, and they shall not depart from me. Yet I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so I will bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. See that last verse, that is a reversal of it. Deuteronomy 28, verse 63, when he would bring judgment. So why do we need all these scriptures? Remember the first verse? Jesus defined the scriptures for you. So if Jesus defined the scriptures, he says, you don't have the Apocrypha, you don't have all these other books. So why would we ever look at manuscripts with all these attached to it and think I've got a good translation? Why would we think it's good that they come along and say, Israel's cast off forever, all the blessings belong to us? See, when you do that, what happens is that you start to misinterpret scripture. And then you start to have your doctrine of life. We have to come back to the Word of God. It's what the Word of God says, not what man says.
Amen.
Not the opinion of men.
Amen.
What we do is we compare scripture with scripture. We study, we let and divide the Word of God. And we stand upon the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that gives revelation. It's the Word of God that reveals God's purposes. But when we come off centre, then you're likely and susceptible to be deceived. And Jesus said, many will be deceived. Not a few, not a couple. He says, many will be deceived. And what I've just told you today, relatively few people believe it. Because that is the state of Christendom today. But we want to be people who stand upon the Word of God, knowing how to rightly divide the Word of God, knowing what the Word of God says, and knowing what the promises of God are. And so when I go back to saying at the beginning, you can look at the You know, just like now, how you can look at the Bible, how people look at Old Testament, New Testament, but you can also look at the Bible from the perspective. All the prophecy concerns Israel from the beginning, when again called out into Egypt, made a nation in Israel, to what's going to happen after Jesus comes back. And even in the midst of all the rebellion, God says, I restore them for my name's sake. Not for their sake. He says, my name's sake, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
So we read the scripture and we say, God is true. God is true. Let God be true and let every other person be a liar. And so we have to stand to know the truth, know what the word of God says, and when we come against things where we say, hey, that's contradicting the word of God, then you have to be careful what they're teaching you, because they'll teach you something that's off-center and you'll not know the complete truth of the word of God. So we come and we stand upon the word. And the way that we look at the word for to get revelation, if we compare scripture with scripture. The Holy Spirit is the interpreter of the book. The Holy Spirit is the one, the Bible said, he takes all the signs of Christ and he reveals them to us. We want fresh manna.
Amen.
We want that which comes from the Holy Spirit. We want, as a children of God, to be led by the Spirit. And of course, we put up all the texts up there so you can read them for yourself.
Amen.
You can judge. What we do is we teach the Word of God. You judge the Word of God. And it's important because in Jeremiah's day, there were people who were cutting the Word of God. And Jeremiah rebuked them. In the days of Paul, he rebuked people who were tampering with the Word of God. Never think people don't tamper with the Word of God, because a spiritual battle goes on from generation to generation.
Yeah.
But we want to be grounded in the Word of God and know what's true, and stand upon it and declare it. Because as we do that, the revelation and how we fit the Bible joins together so that we see the overall scripture with no contradictions, say, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to leave that with you today to encourage you. When you look at this scripture, just like the one we started, many, many times, there's so much more behind that scripture than just what we read in the surface. Jesus has defined for us, for all time, what is the Old Testament. Anybody comes with any other book, you've got to say, you don't believe Jesus.
Amen.
So the question is, do we believe Jesus? So Father God, this morning, we are proclaiming your word. We're standing upon your word. We want to know the truth.
Yes.
And we want to rightly divide your word. And we submit to the Holy Spirit. We submit to the author, the finisher. And we say, lead us and guide us. Quicken us, help us to understand your word and to rightly divide your word. And to know your word. And in these days where there is so much corruption, Lord, that you would keep us grounded so that we know whom we believe, we know what we believe, and we cannot be shaken.
Amen.
But we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.